It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chop.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guy.
Welcome. You're listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the weekend. A lot of snap in the air, a lot of rain. Fall is upon us. And you know what? I'm all good with that because this is going to be doing a little tailgating later today. Barbecue Bob does a little bit of hunting, but I am jopping. He is Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
I can't wait to get out of this prison and head to the woods.
Yeah, right. It's not that bad, but it's close.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well,
if you're the governor, apparently nobody's in prison, right? We don't have, whatever. I watched that debate this week.
Oh, what'd you do that for?
Well, just to learn.
It's good. No, you should do that. You can't vote without being informed. So good for you.
Yep.
I was working, but as soon as we're out of here, I am my Jeep is packed, and I'm not leaving on a jet plane, Conrad. So don't start singing that song.
Ooh.
Oh, my bags are packed.
I'm ready to go.
Right.
I can't wait. My brother-in-law Paul's meeting me at camp, and we've got 3-4 days of good fellowship and fun. It's just so nice.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of deer, so my one trip up there. So I'm really excited and hoping that he gets a chance to use his crossbow that I hooked him up with from Allen Bob's. And
yeah.
It's fun. But, this year, for some reason, I paid a lot of attention to Columbus Day, and I can't tell you why. I have a bit of an affinity for Italy and the Italians, maybe. That skirmishing over the holiday name didn't seem to be as bad this year. That maybe is kind of going away. The Italian people kind of took it on the chin when people tried renaming it and deriding Christopher Columbus. But we wouldn't have any of this stuff if that dude didn't have the cojones to jump in a wooden box, put some sheets up on top, and sail it out into the vast unknown, that flat earth he thought it was.
Right.
I mean,
sailing to the edge.
Can't imagine. Yeah. Didn't Kansas have a song about that point of no return?
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, so thankfully there have been people in history that have just done incredible things like that.
Well, my mom paid homage to Christopher Columbus. I was born on Columbus Day.
Oh, that's right. Happy birthday.
And
I didn't get to see you.
My middle initial is C. She couldn't hang me with Randy Columbus. So she made my middle initial C.
Oh, my God.
That is a true story.
That's one of the best stories I've ever heard about you.
That's a true story.
Oh, God bless
her. So I'll take it one step further.
Oh, no.
I had a brother that was born in February, and he was born on the kitchen table because there was a blizzard. What do you suppose his middle initial is?
B.
You got it.
Does he own any Dairy Queens?
Yeah. No, but so mom was creative, but
oh my gosh,
so
that
there
is
you
hysteric.
Go.
Well, you should just start saying Columbus.
No, I'm way over it.
Randall Columbus.
Yeah, no.
Then you could do that Poindexter voice you like to do.
I could, yeah, but I'm not going to. Yeah, so back to the grilling, guys, and away from world travel.
No, but anyway, I just wanted to bring up Columbus Day because we have all these holidays, and it seems like people are so busy they don't really give crap anymore.
Well, that one's real discreet, I think. There isn't a lot to celebrate there. It's, 1492, right? So as the rhyme goes. So that was a long time ago, right? But
And he was funded by Spain.
Yeah, 400, what is that? That'd be 530 years ago.
Or was it Portugal? Spain or Portugal, seems like they were arm wrestling over that.
Yeah.
And anyway.
He's a good salesman. I know that. Hey, buy me a boat, give me a crew, fund me, and I'm going to go find the other end of the earth, and I may never come back. But
I mean, three ships, actually, right?
Yeah,
right.
And he discovered scurvy, so,
Right.
Yeah. Some of my favorite islands.
Right.
Yeah.
Caribbean.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Caribbean but, Queen. She was down there.
So.
You still got songs coming out of
it. Bringing this back home. I was reminded this week. I talked to you a few times about this new griddle that I have. Well, I've been using it, trying to get comfortable with it and making different things, just experimenting. And I kind of left my other equipment alone
for
a while.
Yeah. So and, you see how your wife feels now?
So right. So I went back and for my birthday on Wednesday, I was going to grill a steak and I wanted to get on the tech to do it, right? Well, apparently, the last time I used the tech, I left the burner on to cook off the junk. And
so
I was out
of
gas.
You're right. And
I was out of gas.
You must have had spares because that's what you preach on the show.
Right, yeah, I did. I did. So I got the steak done, but then I looked at it and I'm like, man, this thing is filthy because I wasn't taking care of it. So my little note to everybody today is before it gets 20 degrees and the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour,
good
clean
point.
Your equipment.
Good point.
Okay, I took some time. It was 65 degrees earlier this week. This sun was out, and I just tore the thing apart and cleaned it. Took me 15 minutes, put it back together, but it's ready to go
well,
to
that
bed.
One comes apart really nice.
Right, but it's ready to go for the winter now.
Yeah, that one's very friendly.
It took a lot of hard grilling this summer.
Yeah.
And I'm betting your grills did, too, and now it's starting to slow off for many of you. And it's like, take a minute and clean these up before it gets cold because it'll winter better, especially
yes,
if you've got a charcoal grill, like a Weber with a metal in it, because that ash is caustic over time, and it gets wet, and then it's going to be a mess.
You're getting advice from Randall Columbus.
Right, yeah. But I'm
we
just saying, do that.
Holy Christopher.
Take some time. Take some time with it. It'll pay off. And you'll have a much better winter grilling season.
I'll take it one night. I'll say you still have time to put up some kind of weather protection.
Yep.
And anything. I mean, not a pop-up.
Right.
I can tell you how fast those get destroyed. I destroyed two in a couple weeks. Our Grilling Guys one got trashed last weekend at that chili festival. The wind came out of nowhere, and we strapped it down, and it just bent that thing. I'm fixing it, but, boy, that was a sturdy one. Imagine what the cheap ones do. So don't go with the pop-up tent thing.
Well, and what you really need is you need wind block. And, a roof over it if it's raining or snowing is wonderful. Don't get me wrong. But the wind block will suck all the heat out of your equipment as it gets colder.
Right.
And so if you've got to, again, while it's nice, set up your – it's probably different than your summer setup, right, is you got a fall or a winter setup. Do something with some wind block. It's simple as a tarp. But get it secured well.
That's what I was
thinking
is they make these nice through, but for the most part, they breathe a little bit and they're decorative. You could get something like that even, something that lets a little bit of the air through so that 40-50 blast doesn't just take the thing out. Because I'll tell you, that vinyl in the cold weather with a hard wind, she just...
Yeah. And, you know, whatever works for you. But get it out. Get your word up because I've melted siding before. Don't put your equipment too close to the house when you're trying to get it out of the wind because the back of your grill, if it's a gas grill and 80% of you are using one of those, it kicks a lot of heat out.
And don't
the
bring
back.
It in your garage and experience doing
well,
that.
Well, you know what, though? I'll tell you, Bob, that twice this week I used the griddle. Again, I'm trying to get on that thing, and it takes practice. Heat control's where it's really at. But twice I grilled in the garage. It was raining. And you can do that griddle in the garage because – It's no more smoke than would come off your stove or inside your house. But I do it by the door.
He's not advising this.
Right.
Just so you know, he is not recommending you use a gas appliance in a building.
Opinion of Jop may not be recommended by the staff or management of Jethro FM and our affiliates.
State mechanical law allows you to burn something propane if it's a 6-pound cylinder and below. That's it.
Okay, but you burn a gas grill or a gas stove all day, every day in your house, and you can turn the vent on or you can't.
That's hard piped, and that code allows for it.
Okay,
but
I'm in
telling
an open
you,
air garage. I'm a foot
I'm
inside my garage.
I'm just telling you what mechanical code says.
Well,
if it's 6 pounds,
when have you been a rule follower?
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. I'm advising our listeners to be rule followers.
Yeah,
not Jop followers.
All right. You can do what you want. I'm just telling you what I did.
We've lost control today. We've really lost control of this show.
Yeah.
Let's do a break.
I'm calling David Carrier and get some legal advice.
Right.
Here.
Yeah. The grill cops are coming to my house. That's in Wyoming on Rockwood Court. No. But
you hope
anyway.
The girl cops are coming.
Well,
instead.
Whatever. I might know some of them too. Anyway, enough of this nonsense. Coming up next, we might wing it a little bit like we have been. Stick with us. We'll be back.
The Grilling Guys.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. If you listen to that first segment, I apologize.
But you should.
But now let's move forward, because there's some great fall cooks out there, individuals as well as things you should be cooking. It's tailgate season. It's deer season. It's 'tis the reason to get out on your grill and smoker. But what do you want to talk about?
Well, you know, just looking at these topics, reminds me that the Grilling Guys rap is really old, and I think we might want to come up with a new one. And we're talking about winging it. You could be bringing it, something like that. I don't know. What do you think, Conrad?
I think rap is crap, and I think you should.
I want to wing it.
Oh, man.
Or maybe we just hire that done.
So how do you do wings?
Well,
not on your grill. I've heard it.
No,
okay, not
no,
in the garage.
I've got two things that if you've got a pellet smoker, or if you've got a smoker that uses hard lump charcoal or wood, whatever, is that I have a two-step method, and the reason is simple, is I like a little smoke on my wings. I think it gives them some great flavor, not a lot, but a little, but it never crisps up the skin. And I don't like rubbery chicken skin. So once I get them smoked, and you can do this ahead of time, but I go right from the smoker to the fryer. And I have
air fryer?
Well, air or just a little oil one, you know.
Air fryers are great.
Right. That would
and
work
you
too.
You have one.
Right, I do.
I used it when I was COVIDing at your house.
I understand. And we use it a lot. But my point is that I want to get that skin crispy. So you could use an air fryer. You can use a deep fryer, 350 oil. I got one that's like 3 quarts. It's just a little itty-bitty deep fryer, right? And you need maybe a quart of oil in it to get a couple inches in the bottom of the pan.
Right.
It's a small one. And that works perfect. I can set it right beside the smoker or the grill and
what are those,
go from one to the other.
What are those, Conrad, you might have one of these. What are those popular fryer things that everybody has?
Oh, the air fryers.
Fry Daddy.
It's a plug-in.
Yeah, it is an air fryer.
It is, but there's a name, there's a brand that everybody has.
Oh.
Except you.
I don't either. We bought them for all our kids for Christmas last year.
Right.
Anyway, something like that works great.
Right.
But if you have a deep fryer, a little Fry Daddy.
Right. I think I got mine at Cabela's, and it was just like a little 3-quart with a burner under it.
Right.
And you can hook a regular 20-pound propane or a little one, depending on what fitting you get.
Right.
And it just heats the oil to 350. You dunk them for a couple minutes to crisp it up, pull them out, and then I season them after with sauces. I'm not a guy that likes to cook my wings with sauce on them. I like to dip or sauce them after I get them cooked.
Okay, got a Ninja or an Instapot?
Instapot. Yeah, that's the one I see. Instapot. My kids use them all the stinking time.
Speaking of our new sponsor, Premier Botanics. Yeah, there's an Instapot store right there. So, see, I tie it all together.
I see what you did.
Yeah. But anyway, back to the wings.
Click the link below.
Back to the wings. So that's how I do it.
Well, like in the kitchen right now, I've gone to a two-step process because I'm you know, constantly playing with stuff, trying to get the perfect widget, right? Mm-hmm. Very often not happy with anything I make. I'm happy that people are, but I'm very hard to satisfy me. So what I noticed is when I just deep fry wings to get them to, I like to get them to 180. Yeah. So that's a little weird too for some people, but that's just what I'm trying to do. But to get them at least to 165 even, they're getting pretty black on the outside. So I'm trying to find a way to make them look really good without getting them too blackened up. And I think part of the problem is it's the spice complex I'm using, and that's what's turning black. And it's just something I'm probably going to have to live with because the profile I want, it's just a fantastic – people – I mean, I have to buy more wings every week because it's
– Well, that's good. That means you're selling them.
Yeah, people like them. Some guys order a whole pan of them,
right?
You know, like $110 worth of wings,
right?
And so I got
that's a big pan. By the way,
gotta keep trying to perfect it. So I was deep frying them for like 4 or 5 minutes to getting them where I wanted them, and then I was throwing them in the convection oven.
Okay,
and that's a little bit better. But you know, you can just fry them in a pan too. If you don't have any of this fancy equipment, like I have a deep fryer on my back deck at home, and I got one, of course, at work. So I have fryers that I can use. But back in the day, we had, you know, a pot. You might have a Dutch oven. Those work great for frying because they're tall and your grease doesn't want to splatter out so bad. And then you only need like an inch of oil in the bottom.
Right. That would my recommendation there would be is not to put in at a time. In a Dutch oven or something like that, or even the deep fryer.
Right.
Right. You want them to be submerged, but you don't want them stacked up.
Yeah. And then, you know, if you can get one of these spoons that's a screen type of spoon, that's real nice too. Of course, if your oven, most of the ovens they're selling now, didn't you just have to buy a new oven or something, refrigerator?
We bought a fridge, an oven, yeah.
Okay. Most of the ovens have a convection mode.
Yeah.
And we've had ours now, we got ours at Garrett's. 4 years ago when we rebuilt, and that convection mode is just like the Instapot.
Well, that's what an air fryer is, too, right?
It is. Instapot it's just an air fryer.
These little Cuisinart air fryers or whatever they are.
It blows the air around.
Right.
Like a politician.
Yeah.
So you
can, 'tis the season.
You can also, of course, smoke them. I'm almost getting kind of over-smoked on. I do so much smoking that I'm trying to find something different than just smoking. But a lot of people are not over-smoked. They want that.
So our friends at Old World Olive Company sell flavor-infused olive oils. And one of them that is awesome on chicken wings is a lime.
Persian lime.
Persian lime-infused mm-hmm. olive oil.
Love the Persians.
You roll that, roll your wings in that, and then I get a Memphis. You can go to any part, Sobeys. Have three different varieties of the of
you,
Memphis.
You would look for the one called Pig's Ass.
Right. And it's a Memphis rub. It's a little bit of a citrus profile as well. But you throw some of that on there, toss them in there, and put them in your oven with that lime olive oil and that Memphis rub on there. And you tell me that if you don't like them, they're done, because that is the simplest recipe, but they just turn out fantastic. And again, I don't sauce my wings when I cook them. When they're done cooking, you can put any sauce on them.
I know why you like them like that.
Why is that?
Because you came to that class Rob and I did up in Rockford when we first started hanging,
mm-hmm.
and that's how Rob liked to do them.
Right.
That's exactly what – that's all he would ever let me put on wings.
Right.
Memphis.
Right. And but it's good.
It is.
It's really good, and we serve them to tons of people. You can get a lot of flavor profile on a wing just by the sauce or the rub that you put on it, and find one you like. They're coming down a little bit. I saw them at like $1.99 a pound now. They used to be more than chicken breast, but they're coming down a little bit.
And, you know, I'll tell you right now, just go to Sobey and ask for their party wings.
Right.
They're already separated. I don't know quite who he buys them.
Beautiful. Right.
And
they're fun to cook, and people love them, and it's just a really good. And here's the other thing is if you cook these and you got to bring them to a tailgate or bring them to a party, they eat good cold, just as good as – they're better warm, but they eat good cold.
Yep.
So, all right, coming up next, Wow, dips are a great thing for tailgating. Just don't be one. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hi, this is Jim, founder of Schmoe's Brewing Company. We're a small, family-owned brewery that serves the Grand Rapids neighborhoods. We do things a bit differently at Schmoe's, sort of old school. We make all the styles of beer true to style. That's our focus. So you want to relax and enjoy a well-made craft beer that tastes like a craft beer is supposed to taste, stop into Schmoe's. We're located in Cascade on Patterson Ave, right before the ice rink. Or check us out at schmoes.com. We're open every day but Sunday.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's tailgate season. It's deer hunting season in the woods. Everything's good. And you got to take a little bit of food with you when you go do all of that stuff. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob, and you're listening to Grilling Guys. And we're going to dive into maybe some dips. We covered wings in the last segment, so dips are always good. I like them because you can generally make them ahead of time and just bring them and warm them up.
That's a great point.
Right?
So, you know, Saturday after the chili cook-off, I did not win, but I had a wonderful time.
That's because I wasn't there helping.
Yeah, I'm sure. Because the people that won were the ones that we heard all the complaints about their chili. So I think the fact that, I'm not going to go into it, but we had a crowd around us the entire 3 hours, and we handed out more chili than anybody because we made more than anybody. Everybody was running out. And so the last hour, everybody's at our tent because we still had chili.
Right. Well, you know, I've found that we've competed in a lot of, like, a bigger flavor profile than most people do in their chili. You go to one of those open competitions like that, and the guy that used hamburger and some canned tomatoes.
That's who won.
And a little bit of chili
powder.
They were
literally dumping in cans of Hormel,
yeah,
of Brooks.
Right, yeah. So my point is that it's terribly
it's
arbitrary.
It is. And here's the biggest thing. The people attending are wonderful people who just want to taste chili.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're never really instructed properly. So the guy that actually marks the ticket for everybody is the one that wins.
Right.
So anyway, I got done with that competition, and I had to wait around for the winner and yada, yada. So I went into the Flat River Grill. They've got new restaurant next to it. They call it the Tributary. And I knew I just had a half hour to kill, so I ordered a dip. And this was a wonderful – it was a sort of a – I think they probably used a broiler, and it had a sauce. It was goat cheese – with this wonderful sauce. I couldn't figure it out. I just wanted more. I ate the whole thing myself. And then they served baguettes, you know, toasted baguettes. And it was wonderful. So dips are just great for my wife and I. She will very often ask for the Parmesan artichoke dip, Parmesan artichoke, or spinach dip, or, you know, I don't like to post a recipe if it's copied. I always play around with them. I haven't lifted some stuff from people before, but this one I worked on a bunch of times. What I was finding online, and that's for artichoke spinach dip.
And the so you're combining them because there's usually an artichoke dip and there's usually a spinach dip.
Yeah.
This is kind of cool.
Yeah,
good.
And I love artichokes. I love roasted artichokes. And the Reese. Yeah. I think who make Reese's Cups, the same company. They Reese's has a bottled artichoke and roasted, grilled, marinated artichoke.
Right.
Those are the cats, you know what.
Meow.
Yeah. Patootie. So this one is spinach and artichoke. And what I'm going to tell you is when you use this recipe, use the fresh spinach. all recipes you see online tell you to use the frozen spinach because it's easier to it's mushy. The texture of it and everything on your palate when you're eating it. I haven't made this in 2 or 3 years, but in 25 minutes of heating up that cold substance, you're not really cooking the spinach terribly. And so back to, you know, you're always making this for friends and guests, right? Like we were talking before. You want that perfection delivered. Do it that way and just don't overcook it. Don't overbake. Don't turn it into mush. But it's basically Borzen.
Which is a goat cheese.
Softened cream cheese. A little bit of mayo. I always use Hellman's. But a couple of garlic cloves peeled and minced. You can buy the minced in a bottle. It's not a crime. Some basil. And I grow my own. So there's a nice reason to go out in your herb garden before the first frost hits. And then you're going to need some other garlic. 4 cloves, actually. I don't know why it's listed twice here. Maybe that's my mistake. Salt and pepper. A couple of jars of Reese's grilled marinated artichoke hearts. Those are phenomenal. And some chopped spinach, fresh spinach. And the combination of those items, you know, and use your cast iron pan if you have a nice skillet, cast iron, lodge skillet, something like that. Put it in the oven in that and bake it. And then when you bring it out to the table, have, you know, of course, a board or something to set it on because it's going to be 375 degrees.
But the cast skillet makes a great presentation.
It keeps it warm.
And, yeah, that's where I was going to go is you got 15, 20 minutes of it staying warm when you bring a hot skillet out and you set that dip. I've got, you bought me, Bob, a 24-inch cast iron.
That's a monster.
Skillet. Yeah, it's a monster. And when I was down at deer camp last week, I made a chicken dip.
Buffalo chicken dip.
You know,
how'd that go?
Quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, because what we did it is I usually threw that on the smoker, right? But I didn't have a smoker with me. I had the griddle. So we went in and it just fit in Tim's oven. Right. So I made it all up and then we just threw it in there and like you said, put it in 350 for about 30, 35 minutes, got it hot and bubbly all the way through, and then just brought it out and for an hour it was still warm, you know, on the table when we served it. But it's always a hit.
So
the scoop chip.
What did you use for it? Was buffalo chicken.
Yeah. So
chicken breasts?
I used chicken, I had thighs. I prefer thighs. They're just juicier. And I diced them up, and I made this ahead, right?
So you just fried them?
I cooked them on the flat top.
Oh.
And got it
you
like a stir fry. Yeah, yeah, right? And got it like a stir fry. Then I put cream cheese.
So time out.
Yep.
Did you chop them up before you threw them on,
yes.
on the griddle?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Why?
Because they cook quicker, one. And two, I wanted small little uniform pieces, and it's easier for me to cut cold chicken than hot, frankly. And I was just trying to put it together all at one time, so I did my prep work and then put it together and did it the night before, right? I mean, I don't need to run through a recipe. Look up buffalo chicken dip.
No, but you have a couple of things. You've made this before, and you have some. You have one buffalo sauce in particular that you're
right. Yep, and it's a buffalo blue cheese sauce. The blue cheese is mixed right in with the buffalo
Isn't
sauce.
Isn't the label on it blue too?
But it's a clear bottle and it looks orange. And then there's a, and I'm trying to think of the name and I can't right now. But
it does have a blue label, I believe. And that one in particular, I bought on your recommendation and it's fantastic.
Right. Yep.
And I'm sure there's a lot of good ones, but.
Yeah. So just go down your, you know, sauce aisle or marinade
or
wherever.
True buffalo chicken, I mean, didn't that all start with Frank's?
Yeah. Yep, yeah. 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 And I, you know, you can do that if you like. Again, when I cook for larger groups of people that I don't necessarily know what they like, I tend to back off on the spice a little bit because the average person doesn't like things maybe as spicy, especially you really enjoy your spices. I'm not quite as into it as you are, but at the end of the day, if I make something to my liking, there's about a half of the people that think it's too much.
Yeah,
too much seasoning. So I just back that stuff
and
off.
I made my chili last week pretty tame. Yep. Not as spicy as I would like it. The complaint I heard about the people that won, the complaint people were coming down saying is it's just too hot. So you got to watch out for those people that are
yep.
you know, the grandmas and stuff, they don't necessarily
and
like
it. And they all get to vote, so.
They do.
Right. Yeah.
They do.
But
so that's cool. There's a cheese bean dip we can talk about next, but I just want to advise people to hit the farmers markets right now.
Right.
Because they're all running out of stuff. It's the end of the garden season.
Right.
And
all your root vegetables and things. Yeah,
yes.
They're still around. And
yes, because this winter is going to be really cold, and you're gonna want some of that stuff.
Yeah, and it'll be good. So coming up next, we might roast some vegetables. The gardens are fat. We're hoping you're not. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Well, anyhow, getting to be that time of year. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm a deer hunter, how do you do? I got the deer hunting rapping tale for you. I'm so excited, it's my favorite time of year. I love to feast my bonds, chasing trophy deer. But don't clap your hands to the stomping of the feet, cause yeah, he's like me, he can't keep a steady beat, no.
Come on, I guess get with the beat, hey.
Barbecue Bob here for the local hunting, fishing, and archery experts at Allen Bob Sports. The freshest, tastiest proteins you can put on the grill or in the smoker are the ones you harvest yourself. And Allen Bob Sports is everything you need to be a success in the field or on the water. For everything from bows and crossbows to firearms and fishing, go to Allen Bob Sports, now partnered with Millbrook Tack, just off US 131, exit 76, or shop online at millbrooktack.com.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the grilling guy show.
Welcome back. It's the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Jethro FM, WBRN, JIM in Lansing, and all the rest of you guys that are out there, thank you for tuning in. We are just a couple dudes that like to grill, and we talk about it quite a bit.
Our sleep.
Just ask our wives, right? they're like, they've had enough of this stuff, but I hope
you
haven't.
Do
you
ever just yell because you burnt yourself while you're sleeping?
Maybe cussing. Yeah, right. What? You know, she wakes up.
I'll do this cheesy bean dip that I didn't get to because I was babbling on too long about the stinking artichoke. Okie dokie. This is pinot vinegar and some crumbled bacon, and that is your dip. You're gonna smash those beans, and you're gonna cover it with all kinds of cheese and jalapeno, and just throw it in the oven. It's so easy. There's a brand of bean that I love. It's the yellow,
Great Northern.
No, it's the logo. It's the yellow. Everything they do is in a yellow can. They're out of Texas.
Don't know.
Can't think of the name of it.
We're 0 for 2 on giving you brand recommendations
on the memory
today.
Here, yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I'll come up with it when we leave.
Sure. Yeah, he'll post it on Facebook. Yeah.
So let's talk about roasting vegetables. And again, if you are going to the farmers markets, what are you going to be buying? What do you like buying at the farmers
markets? That I've liked in the past, I'll grab some, and it reminds me to do those kind of things, you know? So when I was growing up, my parents grew a very large garden, so I was exposed to a lot of different vegetables. And it's not a root vegetable because it grows above the ground, but it's in the cabbage family, and it's called a kohlrabi. Kohlrabi is about the size, when it's mature, it's about the size of a baseball. And it had several little leaf sprouts all the way around it. So when you clip it, there's like a bunch of little fingers when you've taken the leaves off. But you cook that, I slice it really thin and cook it in a little bit of garlic and butter. And the kohlrabi is a peppery. It's the same consistency of a beet. okay? It's pretty dense and pretty hard. That's why you slice it thin and fry it. But it's peppery, and it's a really, really
what's it called?
Kohlrabi, K-O-H-L-A-R-B-I, something like that. But it's about But it's about the size of a baseball, and all the leaf stems come off the bulb, which is above the ground. Huh. So you trim all the
leaves. Is there another name for this?
Mm-mm, I don't think so.
Kohlrabi.
Yeah, yep.
Where would you find one?
Farmer's market. There's people.
Your mom grew those?
Yeah, my dad did.
Your dad did.
My dad had a huge garden when I was growing up, and he grew them all the time. But they look like they'd be a root vegetable, but they're not.
They stick up out of the ground. A little bit like artichoke, then, where the leaves
No, because it's got a hard skin on it.
Huh.
And that's why you slice it. But it's really tasty. But that's a different one.
Kohlrabi.
Yeah.
I'm going to look
that
up.
So that's one
of
the things that, yeah, it's real. It's a real deal.
So you could, like, roast it around the campfire at deer camp?
You could, but it's better sliced because it's really hard. It's a hard vegetable, and you slice it thin and then just put a little heat on it, and it softens it up a little bit, mm-hmm. and makes it. It's like a member of the radish family.
Oh.
Kind of that
okay.
thing.
You know,
that consistency.
So back to the pinto beans, it's Goya is the brand I like.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Goya.
Yeah, see, he remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
And my second call would be La Preferada. That's not bad. But the Goya beans are perfect. I use their Negros as well. But the pintos for refried beans, I'm not a big fan of refried black beans.
No?
Some people like them. Anyway, a beet is a wonderful root vegetable to roast. And it's coming to deer camp time. So this is one time I'll break my aluminum rule, and I will actually wrap dirty beets. You just pull them out of the ground, and you wrap them in foil, and you set them on the side of your campfire. And then when you pull them out, oh, I've seen those. Okay.
Yeah.
When you pull them out, then that skin on them is going to be the vegetable itself will be reduced a bit. And that skin is the only thing having contact with the aluminum, so that's why I think it's okay. But you peel that skin off, and it just wants to slip off like a jacket. You know, it just falls right off, and it does not taste anything like what just a plain beet tastes, because plain beets taste pretty plain.
Right.
But when you roast it, it gets a sweet profile, kind of like a carrot. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just cool. It's just
right.
Superfood is what it is.
Right.
That's what they make a lot of these superfood powders and stuff out of. It's beets.
Yep. That's good.
Another one that I really love, and I did a whole bunch of these again for the chili, is I roasted a ton of peppers and tomatoes. The tomatoes were all the uglies that he let me take. And it doesn't matter if they're shriveled and rain spotted, because you're just throwing them in the roaster anyway. And in this case, I smoked them. And I smoked a bunch of jalapenos. Mm-hmm. This dude's jalapenos were wicked hot. They were like habaneros.
Yeah.
So.
And you put some of that in the chili?
Yeah.
Ding. That's why you didn't win right there. I mean, I'm serious, though, because people don't like that, right? They're going to go, ooh, it was too hot.
No, it wasn't hot. I put very little in there.
But
I,
you said the ladies came and said, oh, you know why you didn't win?
No. The guy that won, people were complaining that his was too hot.
Oh, all right.
No, mine wasn't hot at all. Mine was super complex.
Okay, I misunderstood.
So. Yeah. No. Onions, another nice thing to roast.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many different types of onions. I mean, I like to roast the Spanish onions because they have so much flavor. They're smaller.
Lisa's trying to eat a little healthier these days, and we've eaten spaghetti squash.
Oh, all the time.
Two or three times in
the
last
month.
Don't like it. Well,
Maureen does.
It needs a little, it needs to be done enough.
Yeah.
And then you need a little tomato sauce on it so it's like spaghetti, or some garlic or something, because it, in and of itself, it's almost flavorless.
It's got kind of a funky smell to it.
Well, I don't know about the smell, but see, I'm.
I have a great sense of smell.
I don't. COVID still took my smell away 2 years ago, so, and I've not got it back completely.
You need to pray on that.
Well, okay, yeah, whatever. The mask didn't work. I know that, but anyway, yeah, it's something.
Conrad's not commenting. I know he wants to so bad because he's praying for people every day. I know.
No, It's all good.
God bless you, Bob.
You're right.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's a good thing.
Well, yeah, spaghetti squash. Again, that market I was at, I bought a bunch of those because my wife loves them.
Right.
Not a fan.
Yeah.
How do you make them? Do you cut
them
in half?
Cut them in half and bake them.
Gut them?
Yeah, take the there really isn't a lot of gutting to
no,
do
No, but there's
it.
A little bit of seed in there.
A little bit, not much.
Stringy,
and then,
weird stuff.
Put a little olive oil on them and put them on a baking pan face down with the cavity down and cook it that way because it kind of steams itself.
Okay.
And it gets done a little bit better that way than the upside. If you put them upside, then they burn a little bit by the time they're done, and I don't like that, so I just do them face down, and they seem to work really good, but... it's a squash, man. I mean, it's not terribly exciting.
Well, instead of using pasta, you run your fork through it and you shred it, and it looks like spaghetti.
Right.
It's
better for
it
you.
It aren't spaghetti.
No, it isn't pasta. You know, the other one that I do, the squash, because that's another vegetable that can be roasted really well, is the acorn squash.
I know you like those.
They're the dark green ones that are shaped like an acorn.
How about pumpkins? Have you ever roasted pumpkins?
No, you know, I'm just not into it.
Have you ever smashed them?
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Had to. Sorry.
But back to the acorn squash, because we still have time on this show, and I want to, keep it going and not talk about all this stuff that doesn't matter. So what do you want to talk about? Right? No. Acorn squash, real quick, butter, brown sugar in it. After you got it, take the seeds out. Now that one, there's a little point on the end of it, right? Yep. And then in the stem on the other end, you got to cut the stem off, cut the point off because you want it to sit there, but don't go too deep.
Randy sells acorn squash. If you wonder why every few weeks he's pitching them on the
air. Good for you.
He sells
You're
them.
The one that wanted to talk about roasting vegetables. And they're out there right now. But anyway.
Do you put butter and brown sugar in it?
I do. All right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys. We're about out of time, so we appreciate you tuning in each every week. If you're getting up in the tree, be safe. Get up, get down, Bob, and we'll talk with you next week.
I got this great big knife because the hunting is my life. It's my chance to drink beer and get away from the wife. It's the boys' night out, acting stupidly. Say now, baby, don't you think maybe how about you and me, yeah? Well, we partied all night, never made it to our bunks. And I was sitting in the tree stand on a tree day drunk. Wind was blowing 45, temp 30 below. I was freezing to death, then it started to snow. So I got down from the tree stand, start heading for the truck. And that's when I seen it there, the 30-point buck.